should live in Texas. It's actually true.
All my exes live in Texas, and Texas is a place I dearly love.
All right, final segment with Roger Stone, and Ezra Levant joins us from Davos. Well, he racked up a bunch of big confrontations with Justin Trudeau and his girlfriend, Katy Perry. We've got Eric Schmidt, top technocrat, liberal cabinet minister, top globalist, Christina Freeland, Kevin Rudd, the head of NATO, liberal finance minister from China. It's all coming up. But Roger, in closing, other key topics, other key points people need to know about, what we should be watching on the radar here. What are the globalists going to do when Trump's having so much success in reality?
Well, I mean, let's speak to Davos just for a moment. People should understand that this takes place in a very small village in Switzerland, which really essentially has only one high-quality hotel. It is bitterly cold. There's no public transportation. Now, so you have diplomats staying within a 50-mile radius, and all the elites have jammed this place with limousines. The few restaurants that exist, of course, are completely booked up. This is an elitist's ball. And then there are a lot of wannabes and others in the financial world, plus the media. This is the replacement for the Bohemian Grove. The difference here is that Donald Trump gets to show up and tell them that their worldview has been rejected by the United States. I think it is a class example of all of the elites of the world. Trump is keenly aware at this point that the Europeans are propping Zelensky up, which is causing us not to be able to close a peace deal. I think this, I don't know this, it is my instinct based on everything I've read, that the president kind of has Putin where he needs him for a successful negotiation. But the European nations are propping up Zelensky. Why? Because they get hundreds of millions of dollars through the EU, theoretically, to rebuild their militaries. That's an enormous opportunity for these Europeans to graft. We know just as much of our money that went to Ukraine ended up in the pockets of politicians, either there or here.
Absolutely.
Or both. I think it is more of the same. Davos is the encampment of the elite. Trump went into the lion's den and he flipped them the bird.
No, he did. It was beautiful. In closing, I know it's for the missile defense, Golden Dome, and other things. I wish Trump would go in and say, hey, Denmark screwed you over. They sterilized half your Inuit population. That's half the population. That's admitted just in the last 50 years. We'll come in as a protectorate. You'll be a sovereign country. And then we'll give you, like Alaskan citizens, a percentage of the oil and gas. Him just saying, we'll send the military in. Now, today he backed off and said, no, that's off the table. Yeah. It's just like when he called Canada the 51st state. That got Carney elected. There's slicker ways to get Greenland. Can you advise him of that?
I mean, first of all, let's recognize this is the first administration under Susie Wiles and a tight cabinet that doesn't leak. Oh, we're not going to go arrest Maduro. Boom, you wake up in the morning and it was done. Oh, Trump says, I have no plans to hit Iran. Boom, and it was done. No leaks in this administration. Now, Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer say, well, why weren't we consulted? Why? Because you would call and warn them. That's why. You would call Maduro and warn him. That's why.
Wow, so you're implying we are about to grab Greenland.
No, I think the president is very serious about getting control of Greenland, enriching and improving the lives of the people of Greenland. Well, here's a good place to start, Alex. Let the people of Greenland vote. Let them vote.
Great idea. Great idea. He should call for a referendum. He should call for a referendum. Great point. Yeah!
We're going to make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
WEF Reports, that's World Economic Forum, WEFReports.com is the coordinates to take you right to the subpage at rebelnews.com, where Ezra Levant and his team, as usual, are knocking it out of the park. Absolutely knocking it out of the park from Davos. And I want to get to some of these amazing confrontations they've got with the top tech globalist, Eric Schmidt. With Justin Trudeau and his trophy girl there he's got with him. And then we've also got Christina Freeland, who again is on the WEF board, and a big Ukrainian operative whose grandfather was the head Nazi or propaganda in Eastern Europe. You can't make this up. And we've also got the head of NATO, Kevin Rudd, being confronted. Denies being forced out after Trump publicly humiliated him. And then we've got so much more to hit. Or is that the other Rudd? A bunch of other stuff they've got there on the site, rebelnews.com. But first off, I don't know if you saw this because you've been outside while it's going on inside. And I know it's such a tiny place. That's why they pick it up on a mountaintop. You've got to go back down the mountain an hour to where you're at. I don't know if you've seen Trump flamethrow them and say Europe's collapsing, the WEF's going to destroy you. You guys are committing suicide. Globalism's dead. You should follow America. Get back to nationalism and sovereignty and not let China corner the market on rare earth minerals. And then he has all of his other cabinet members, Bessette and Lutnick, just openly saying, we're done screwing over the average person. We're getting back to Main Street. This is the way of the future. Your global order's dead. Then you've got Larry Fink and the rest of them admitting no one trusts us. Our system's dead. Okay, we're going to listen to you now, but he never does that. I mean, this is floundering death throes I'm seeing here. Everybody's asking why there's more people than ever there. I think because they're all desperate trying to recalibrate and scramble around. But tell us what you saw today. And I know you probably got even more confrontations. What you were able to edit last night, get out today. And what you make overall of what just happened. Because Trump, once before, kind of put them in check there. But this time, they were calling Governor Newsom, Patrick Bateman, American psycho to his face. I mean, this was awesome because it's important to not treat them with respect. The World Economic Forum is a tyranny. It has co-equal power with the UN as of 4 years ago, as you know. You have the unelected EU Commission that is a literal tyranny that threw a fit after Trump's speech or actually daring it. So they're all sitting there, I guess they got on their phones and decided, oh, we're now rejecting the trade deal they signed, so that they threw a temper tantrum. I mean, this is political blood in the streets when it comes to actual policy. Ezra Levant.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me on. By the way, I think Roger Stone is spot on when he compares it to Bohemian Grove, but I would change it in one way. Bohemian Grove, at least I saw your documentary on the subject, looked like a summer camp, right? It was a summer camp for grown-ups. Maybe there was some debauchery. There was certainly some pagan cultishness. Imagine if someone took that and said, hey, I see a commercial idea here. I want to corporatize this. I want to sell sponsorships for Bohemian Grove. I want to, you know, have a media center, and I want to have billboards. Like, It's the Disneyfied version of Bohemian Grove that makes hundreds of millions of dollars. Klaus Schwab, incredibly, is a billionaire just for running this conference. So that's why it's perfect for Larry Fink. And of course, he applies his marketing savvy. Bohemian Grove was sort of like a secret society, whereas Larry Fink, he's not secret about it. He'll sell you anything. But I thought that was a very keen observation by Roger. And he's right that it's so hard to get there. That's why we have to stay one town away, because you literally cannot get any hotel rooms or Airbnbs. But let me tell you what it was like when Donald Trump was speaking. Everyone knew exactly when it was going to happen. And everyone knew that he was delayed a little bit because of his plane. And everyone could hear the helicopters overhead. And one of our reporters, Avi Yamini, went down to the airport, and we're going to publish this either later today or tomorrow. And he filmed all the amazing anti-aircraft and anti-drone technologies that had been brought to Davos that has never been there before to protect the president. I've been coming to Davos for 5 years now. I've never seen this kind of heavy artillery. So everyone knew Trump was coming. The roads had military vehicles when you came in. So many police. Like, I'm going to say it was probably a one policeman for every two or three delegates. You felt pretty safe, I'll give you that. So when Donald Trump was starting his speech, there was only about 1,000 people in the conference room. But I can tell you, Alex, that everyone there was listening on their phones or dialed in some way. It's almost like there was a hush over the whole town. I mean, there were still people wandering around and there were still people hustling, but everyone wanted to hear it. Now, it went on for about 90 minutes, so I'm not sure if everyone listened for the whole thing. But let me tell you, Donald Trump showing up at Davos, the World Economic Forum, is sort of like, I don't know, if some mean girls were disparaging some other kid, and then that kid came and said, "Were you talking about me?" Like, the fact that Donald Trump goes right into the heart of darkness, right into the belly of the beast, and mouths back, mouths off to them, that's the alpha dog. That's the lion that we talked about yesterday in that Christopher Walken movie scene. So people respect a guy who's got balls that big. And the thing about Donald Trump, love him or hate him, you know he speaks what's on his mind. And maybe you don't take him literally, but you bloody well better take him seriously. And Norway's on everyone's, Norway, Denmark, the Arctic, Greenland. Trump mentioned Iceland, but frankly, both. It is heavy duty stuff. And Trump told him,
what do you make of them before the speech was even done? 80 minutes in, and you've got the unelected commission there. So I guess they got on their cell phones and said, "We're pulling out of the trade deal." While he's speaking, that is a historic fit, and it shows how dictatorial they are. They can on the spot decide to do it. Forget what the countries want, or the citizens want, or the elected governments want.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are, I think, three different European Union presidents or chairmen. None of them are elected. It's a joke. You know, I followed this one European Union spokeswoman, Kaya Kallas is her name. I think she's their defense minister for the European Union, if I'm not mistaken. She's certainly always talking about taking on Russia. And
yeah, she's the one that said we're going to break it in five parts and we're going to crush Russia just earlier this year.
You know, I come from a city that's larger than her country, and I'm not disparaging small countries. I mean, some of the best countries in the world are small countries. I'm just saying it's a bit of chutzpah for someone, from a teeny tiny place who really has no military background to be the defense minister for the European Union. By the way, her husband still does commerce with Russia, which is a bit of a contradiction, I think. I just find it I like small countries, but it's a bit much.
No, it's like they're trying to make the head of the FAA someone that never worked in aviation. Or
that's
in
exactly
New York,
right.
They put a woman out because she's a lesbian in charge of firefighting, never been a firefighter.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know, can I share with you two ideas that popped into my head about Greenland? Because, as you know, Canada has a massive Arctic as well that's very, very few people. And I've had the pleasure of flying up to Inuvik and then all the way up to the Arctic Ocean in a place called Tuktoyaktuk. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tuktoyaktuk, Alex. There's only about 1,000 people up there. And when I went up there, there was no summertime road. In the winter, there was an ice road. In the summer, you could only go by airplane. So it was as remote as can be. And I went to the one grocery store there, and I don't know, you're paying $20 for a liter. I don't know what a liter is. For a quart of milk, you're paying $20 for it because everything has to be flown in. There's no agriculture that far north. Here's my point. I got two things to say about Greenland, and I'm going to come back to my visit to to Inuvik in a second. There's about 56,000 Greenlanders, okay? Let's say that means there's 20,000 households, right? On average, maybe three people per household. What would happen if you offered every household $1 million American money, tax-free, to join up with the U.S.? Total cost, remember, you got 56,000 people. Let's call that 20,000 households times $1 million each. That's $20 billion. Now, that's a lot of money. Let's not pretend it isn't. But to buy Greenland, $20 billion? You know, a new aircraft carrier costs more than $10
billion. No, I agree. What about giving them a percentage of oil and gas, including offshore, like Alaska gets?
Sure. That's another way to do it. You could structure it that way. I mean, there's so few people there. And if you said to any human being, and you and I could say, well, if you offered me $1 million, I wouldn't take it. Really? Put a stack of bills in front of me and show me a mom who won't take that to take care of her children, or a dad who won't say, we're going to use that in your college fund. You would transform the life of every Greenlander. They would be the envy of Europe. You'd have other countries saying, hey,
well,
can
Roger
we
Stone
that
thinks,
too?
Roger Stone thinks that Trump should just demand they have, you know, if Denmark claims they're really independent, Trump should just, we should just demand a referendum.
It's not a bad idea. Let me throw one more thing at you. And I mentioned I went all the way up to Inuvik and then up to Tuktoyaktuk, and how incredibly expensive it is and hard it is to get there. Well, if you were to go ahead with the Golden Dome and have America really build the infrastructure in Greenland, who would benefit? Well, I'll tell you one thing. The price of milk would come down because all of a sudden you've got daily flights, three, four, five flights a day. You've got highways being built. You've got schools being built, hospitals being built. So, I mean, I've been to Canada's far north, and infrastructure is a huge problem. You have the U.S. military take a serious interest in Greenland. Not only are you giving every Greenlander $1 million per household, you're improving their quality of life. You're giving them highway
roads.
Yeah, it's a
no-brainer, and I've seen statistics. Until Trump's latest statements, they were most of them were for it. That's why he needs to be a little bit more detente-ish when it comes to that. Shifting gears out of that, the EU throwing a fit and pulling out of the trade deal after the speech, which Trump will just pressure him back into it now. You got these clips out today from yesterday. What else did you do today that we're going to be able to see tonight or tomorrow?
I really want to show you the Eric Schmidt one. It's so crazy. You won't even believe it's him. In fact, afterwards, I took a real close look. Is that him? Because he was so outlandish.
Oh,
have you played that one? Have you played that one for your viewers yet?
No, we haven't. I mean, we played a short clip you put out last night. We haven't played the whole thing. For those that don't know, this is the guy at the top of Google, the top of Alphabet, top globalist, who famously said in 2015, we need to censor everybody in live time with AI, but nobody was talking about AI. And then you confront him, and he says, that's not true. You're crazy. You're being mean to me, even though he's on record doing all this. This is yesterday. Here's the clip.
My God, what a problem.
It's a spirit dialogue.
My God.
Why are you screaming?
Way. Amazing.
You're not in control of your emotions.
Because you're pressing against me.
What do you think of the sparring match between the U.S. Embassy and Europe over censorship?
No questions.
You're the one who came up with a memo about a spell check for hate. Remember that memo you wrote in an article about 10 years ago?
I think that you should just stop interviewing me.
I know, but you're a censor by nature. You're the guy who came up with the whole plan.
I think you're being offensive.
Well, does that mean I should be censored, though?
No, I didn't say that. I think you're being offensive. I think you should stop.
Well, don't you think you have an obligation to talk to the public?
No, I do not, and I certainly do not have an obligation to talk to you.
You're the one who fired the starter pistol for censorship in the whole industry.
Wow, amazing that you know this.
Well, I read the article.
You did? What article?
It was either in the Times or the Post.
How interesting.
You talked about a spell check for hate.
Now what you're doing is you're having fun at my expense.
The web theme is...
My God, what a problem.
It's a spirit dialogue.
My God!
Why are you screaming?
Way, amazing.
You're not in control of your emotions.
Because you're pressing against me.
Is this a spirit of dialogue? Is this a spirit of dialogue?
I'm not interested in a dialogue with you.
But that's the entire theme.
Not. You are now harassing me.
Who do you want to have dialogue with?
Harassment is illegal in Europe. Why don't you let me get through?
You want me to go to jail for talking to you?
No, I actually would like you to leave me alone.
Well, you won't leave us alone. You're the one who started the whole censorship war.
I can assure you that you're just wrong, and I suggest that you stop.
Well, and as a man, you can say that, but you were the boss of Google who brought in a wave of censorship, particularly targeting conservatives and Trump supporters.
Really? Really? Wow, amazing how guilty I am, according to you. My God. And you need to stop blocking me.
Why are you pushing?
Because you're pushing me. And we have it on camera.
Does it make you really angry in real life to have to face people?
Facing you? No, not at all.
You seem super triggered.
Super triggered because you won't leave me alone. It's called harassment.
Do you think he should be banned from YouTube for his conduct here?
I do not speak for YouTube. Bye, guys.
That was great dialogue.
I've never seen such a man lose his control. He's lost his emotional self-control.
Are you afraid?
That was Eric Schmidt. He was a senior executive at Google. And I remember he wrote... It wasn't just a memo. It was a lengthy article, either in the New York Times or the Washington Post, a very prestigious paper. He talked about how censorship should be built into the internet like spell check is. He called it a spell check for hate or for emotions, that the internet should correct you in real time. And that's what I was asking him about. I've never seen him answer that, especially in the recent milieu of the U.S., State Department basically going to war over European censors. He's clearly on the European censor side of things.
Have you calmed down from the crash out? Are you feeling better? Are you feeling better, sir? Are you feeling better? Do you want to go back to censorship online?
Why don't you guys just shut up?
You know, I've seen this so many times with you guys and myself, and Luke Radowski used to confront hundreds of globalists, where you'll bring up, say to BBC, hey, on 9/11, you said Building 7 had fallen 45 minutes before it did. And the guy goes, no, I didn't. And he goes, here's the video. And he goes, I can't talk to you. Go away. You're harassing me. It's the same thing. He's like, I didn't do that. And so now, back when censorship, they thought they could do it. Oh, he was happy to be behind it. Now he doesn't know what you're talking about.
I remember that so clearly. I haven't thought about that in a long time. And I just saw Eric Schmidt and I thought, oh, what can I ask him? Oh, it made such a dent in my life. It made such an impression on me, Alex. I read every word of it twice. I kept coming back to that line, a spell check for hate. That's why I remembered. I haven't read that article in 11 years, but I was so certain of it because it actually, I don't want to sound sensitive, but it made me scared. I thought, this guy cannot be unelected. He runs Google, which is so enormous.
Well, let's remember, you're in Canada and already had what, like, the number one station, and they made it shut down. I mean, people don't know all the stuff you've gone through.
Yeah, and this guy had power over my life. So for him to claim it's not true, either he's a diabolical gaslighter, like a truly sociopathic gaslighter, and considering his strange sounds he was making, maybe that's the truth. Another option could be is that he doesn't remember it because he didn't write it.
He's been pushing censorship big time.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, he was lying there. And you notice how quickly he said, you're harassing me. No, this is what public figures, you're being asked questions.
Didn't he also say harassment, which is illegal in Europe?
Yeah. Yeah. And so my colleague Abby said, oh, do you want us arrested? That was terrible behavior. He was the grandfather of online censorship. A lot of other bad people were in on it too. But he was, remember, he wrote that in 2015. Why is that important? Because the major censorship push online happened in very, very early 2017 when all the companies said, oh my God, Donald Trump used social media to win. We've got to bring in machine learning.
And
for
by the way, we have the other head. Was it Sergey Brin or was it Larry Page? Right, it was Sergey Brin. Right after Trump won, the next day he gets on a Zoom
town hall meeting. I remember Alan Bokhari broke that video. Incredible.
So he's town hall with Google employees. He says, "Okay, we're not going to let this happen again."
And he used first person plural. We lost. As if they were part of the Democrats. Like there was no dividing line between Google and YouTube and the Democrats in that town hall meeting. That was another terrifying moment because I had just started. Rebel News back then. And we were basically the only pro-Trump people in Canada. And by the way, they actually completely demonetized us when we played clips of Donald Trump on January 6th. The same clips that ABC, NBC, CBS played, we put those clips and they said, ah, that's our excuse. So that man there came close to killing my company. We managed to find a way to survive through crowdfunding, but he is a diabolical, sociopathic liar. And he, you know, if he's going madness, if that's craziness you see there, I don't know, maybe he was always like that.
He just was trying to again, though, he has in his mind that corporate media can cover up. We have audiences bigger than theirs, so now you just show he's a liar. I want to go to some other clips when you guys ran to Justin Trudeau. We come back here in a few minutes, but larger issues, what is the feeling in Davos? Because last year they said we need to get trust back. Now they're saying it again. Now they're admitting they're in deep trouble and people hate them. Where do you think they go forward from here?
Well, I think it's a lie. And I did a little personal test, and we don't have that yet. And forgive me, Alex, because we go to Davos and we're on the streets all day filming. And then we have to come back to this other town by train and start the editing at night. So I'm telling you about certain things that we haven't published yet, but will be ready overnight. At the beginning of the promenade, that's the promenade, this big street through the heart of the town, BlackRock has a pavilion, and it's like the dominant position. You can tell Larry Fink wanted to be at the head of the street. And they have a chain link barrier saying, do not trespass. This is private property. And I just went over there, and I basically just stepped over the little barrier. It's like a velvet rope, but made of chains. And there was no one there. I just stepped over 1 foot to sort of show that, I'm not going to listen to an inanimate object telling me where I can and can't walk in Davos just because Larry Fink is rather territorial. And a security guard comes right out, and I said, oh, I thought you guys were about, what's the theme again? Spirit of dialogue. So, you know, and they basically said, get off now or you will be arrested. So that's the true Larry Fink. There's this BS about, oh, we want more voices. We want to listen to more voices. We understand that we don't represent everybody. No, these people, they will never change. They can't change who they are.
Well, he's hiding on a Swiss mountaintop, and then they don't want us to have borders. They don't want us to have guns. They want to control our behavior, but oh, they sure want their borders. They sure want their walls.
Yeah. I see you're showing a clip when we spotted Larry Fink. This was from last year. And there was this crazy moment. I don't know if you guys will be able to find it. We were walking with him, and his bodyguards knew they were being filmed, so they didn't kick the tar out of us. I was worried they were going to beat us up because they were a little bit aggressive. And I think Larry Fink was frustrated with them because he's never really had this experience. So he reaches into his pocket, takes out his cell phone, puts it right in our faces, snap, snap, and I think he was trying to telegraph, I know who you are and I'll deal with you later. And it was just such a, in his own way, that was the Eric Schmidt shriek. Eric Schmidt was shrieking at us.
Secret. He didn't know you're a media guy and you're going to put this on
yourself. Yeah, here it is right here. Right here. You see, he's taking his phone out and then he's pointing at me, snap, and then he's pointing at my colleague. He was trying to scare us. And I won't lie, Alex, I was 1% scared.
He's a master criminal, and there he is. He looks, back it up. He looks so satisfied after he gets it. It's an intimidation. Like, I know you are. You're in my list. I'm going to have a social credit score. I'm at the ESG. When I'm done, you'll be living under a bridge, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, he did not like those questions. Although, you know, he's a very smart guy. Of course he is. He could have answered any of my questions, but how dare I, a peasant, talk to him, the prince of the town? He made the mistake of coming out of the castle and over the drawbridge, and there I was, a peasant with questions.
Well, that's right. And he does not want dialogue. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
A lot of time on Trump's triumphant return to Davos, and I need to get these other clips that Ezra got. He's got even more coming out tonight. We really appreciate him joining us, the gold standard of journalism. So we've got Katy Perry with Trudeau trying to make his return. Trudeau went and gave a speech, like 10 people showed up, showing how pathetic he is. And then we've got Christina Freeland, who's another top globalist that they confronted. And you got Kevin Rudd, the former prime minister of Australia, Avi Amini was so instrumental in exposing. So we've got all of that. And then I wanted to raise this, and I got busy, but I'm glad I waited till later so we get Ezra's take on this. You have this imam up here with the German lady and the head, they say, Conference of European Rabbis, literally saying, bring in more Muslims, you're anti-Semitic, and saying we need to replace the old Europeans. So The ADL says arrest you if you say this. In Germany, they'll arrest you if you say replacement migration. Here they are saying, and then I've got articles saying, the new Europeans, which is all these Muslims, again, nothing against them, but my God, folks, they roll the red carpet out. 80% never get a job. They're on welfare. I mean, you know, I've got all the Muslims saying, we're going to kill you. I mean, it's just crazy. And then you've got literally Jewish groups, not all of them, that are in the middle of all this. And Ezra happens to be Jewish, and we get his take on that coming up. But first, Ezra, let's get into Trudeau trying to get a facelift, disgrace, showing back up. Tell us what happened here.
You know what? I'm just thinking about it. Canadians would really, really care about Trudeau because for 10 years we've loathed him until he was thrown out. Alex, if I may, given that we have limited time, can I suggest that we do the Chrystia Freeland clip? I think your viewers might connect with that more because most of your viewers are American. And here's why I'd suggest that. Chrystia Freeland was the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada for most of Trudeau's term. She was a member of the board of the World Economic Forum. And she is Ukrainian by heritage. And believe it or not, her own grandfather was an actual Nazi, which is sort of incredible. She tried to cover that up. It was revealed. She said, oh, that's
wasn't
Soviet
like
propaganda.
The head propagandist over like five countries.
Yeah. Yeah, he expropriated a Jewish newspaper and turned it into a Nazi newspaper. So she comes, it's quite something, her story. Anyways, she has been Zelensky's right-hand woman, and over Christmas, she accepted a job from Zelensky as his senior advisor while still being Canada's senior advisor on Ukraine. So she was working
total
for Mark
conflict
Carney,
of interest.
Our prime...
I know that's illegal in the U.S. Is that illegal in Canada?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I just wanted to set the stage. And let me just throw one more thing out before we go to the clip. She was also the person I mentioned. She was deputy prime minister. So she was quite powerful in Trudeau's administration, sort of like Dick Cheney was under George W. Bush, more powerful than normal. And she was the one who instructed banks to seize personal bank accounts of any of the trucker protesters. And as you know, a lot of husbands and wives have a joint bank account. So if the dad was protesting with the truckers,
sure, that's
suddenly the mom's
you just had the court rule Trudeau's emergency powers were dictatorial and illegal.
That's right. So anyways, that's all the background you need. May I encourage you to play the Chrystia Freeland clip?
Yeah.
It's eight minutes
she's
long.
She's a major global kingpin, folks. Here's the clip.
Yeah.
Ms. Freeland, why didn't you disclose your job offer from Ukraine to the Conflict of Ethics Commissioner within 7 days as required?
Hi, nice to see you.
Likewise.
I disclosed it to the Ethics Commissioner immediately.
Are you sure about that? Because you didn't tell the Prime Minister for 2 days.
I told the Prime Minister as soon as I spoke to him, as soon as I could speak to him.
Why did you keep it secret from the public, though, until the President of Ukraine tweeted it out?
It wasn't finalized.
Are you sure it wasn't because you guys were shipping $2.5 billion out and it would be odd to have you on both sides of the deal?
That was a decision of the Prime Minister. And let me just say, I think Canada should be proud to support Ukraine. And
but I don't think that's the question. You were on both sides of the deal was the question.
I wasn't on both sides of the deal. I actually wasn't at that meeting with the Prime Minister. But in any event, let me be very clear. Ukraine is fighting for Canada's security and for Canada's democracy.
But that doesn't... No one's disagreeing with that. In our conversation.
Let me finish, please.
Okay,
I answered your questions very clearly.
Go ahead.
Ukraine is fighting for Canada. Ukraine is fighting for democracy in Ukraine and in the world. We benefit from supporting Ukraine. I'm proud of the support that Canada has given. And I've been very, very proud.
But you have to follow the law.
No, hang on.
You have to follow the law.
Oh, I followed the law 100%. Well, I followed the law 100%. And let me just be clear. Your questions are about casting doubt on support for Ukraine.
No, it's about casting doubt on your ethics.
No, your questions are about casting doubt on support for Ukraine.
You're trying to misdirect.
No. I am telling...
How can you be on both sides of the deal?
You should be ashamed of yourselves.
I'm not ashamed. I'm ashamed of your misconduct.
His job for him. I have behaved ethically at every moment and I'm very proud.
You were Canada's special envoy to Ukraine while you had an offer pending from Ukraine.
Answered your question.
You have not. You have tried to distract and misdirect.
I have not tried to distract for 1 minute.
Where are you living these days? Where is your home? Are you in the UK? Are you in Ukraine? Are you in Canada?
So that is not pertinent to the question.
Well, it's an interesting question.
But my home is in Toronto. Thank you very much.
Do you still work for the Rhodes Trust?
I haven't started that job.
Are you going to do that job as well?
Yes. The job for Ukraine is voluntary and unpaid. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the Rhodes Trust is the British Empire government thing.
Bank accounts of Canadians.
Well, that's a good question that I don't think you've ever answered. The Federal Court of Appeal recently ruled 3-0 that your decision was unconstitutional. Do you regret that? You seized and froze bank accounts. The Federal Court of Appeal said that was unconstitutional. Any regrets? No regrets. Do you have an apology for the people whose bank accounts you illegally seized? Are you still happy about it?
I'm proud of standing up for Canadians.
Are you proud of breaking the law? That's the charter you broke, man. That's not just any old law. Four judges in a row have agreed you broke the law. You're a law breaker. That's weird.
I've answered your question.
You should be really proud. You should be really proud of yourself.
And I think you should be ashamed of yourself.
For what?
For doing Putin's work.
You froze Canadians' bank accounts.
You're still a lawbreaker.
She's the one that has SS officers standing ovations in Parliament because they fought the Russians in World War II.
Your legacy is a lawbreaker. Your legacy is someone who turned our banking system into a third world system. A banana republic.
You have no compunction. She moves quick.
You're fine with what you did. You don't regret it.
As I said, I've spoken to you and we're finished this.
But you haven't answered the fact that four judges say you broke the law. You don't think you need any public statement on that?
I've spoken at length about the issues that I need to
speak about.
Not
since the Court of Appeal ruled. The Court of Appeal said you're a lawbreaker. You haven't said anything since then.
That this constitutes harassment by people who are doing Putin's job for him.
Ah, same thing.
You're a censor, aren't you? You would love to take my bank account, wouldn't you?
Extremely embarrassed and ashamed of themselves.
I'm not embarrassed at all. I didn't break the law like you did.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm neither ashamed or embarrassed because I'm not a lawbreaker like you. Four judges say you're a lawbreaker. Four judges say you violated the Constitution. Four judges said you illegally stole money. What are they? Are they right or wrong?
What are the repercussions? What are the penalties?
What do you say to Tamara Leach? What do you say to people who are wrongfully arrested because of your illegal invocation of the martial law?
That Zelensky has in place, too.
Don't you care about civil liberties? The liberals used to claim they cared about civil liberties. Well, I, for one, am glad you're gone. Hopefully Canada's seen the last of you.
Wow, that's real journalism. Notice he has all the facts right at his fingertips. Boom, sees Eric Schmidt, hits him with all the facts. Sees her, hits her with all the facts. Keep going.
Okay,
can you pass an ID, please? Okay. Mark Gagne.
Yes.
How are you? I'm Ezra Levant, yes. A journalist doing journalism.
Okay, we need an ID now.
I'll show you an ID now.
Yes.
I believe in freedom of speech. Do you?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good. Then we're friends.
This is all being recorded.
Well, Ezra's slick.
For the record. Okay.
I'm more handsome now. I'm more handsome than I used to be.
Thank you very much.
Sure, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good, how are you? Nice to meet you, I'm Ezra. It's my friend Lincoln.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey guys, have a nice day. Just leave, if people don't want to speak with you, they don't have to. You have to understand that, okay? That's their liberty.
But she was talking to us for most of that time.
Yeah, she's a public figure and oppressed him.
No, she was not happy at all.
Okay. So have a nice day.
What a happy ending. You know, I said this to another reporter who was new to Switzerland. He was worried about the roadblocks with police. I said, don't worry. They're just for security. Just show your passport. You have to. But they just say, I'm a journalist doing journalism, and they'll wave you through. And this journalist was skeptical.
Yeah, the Swiss hate the globalists.
Chrystia Freeland, the law-breaking bully of Canada, somehow got four Swiss police to pull us over. They checked our ID. I think he made a phone call or two. And he said, hey, just take it easy. All right, I'll take it easy. A fascinating ending to a fascinating encounter with Chrystia Freeland. Boy, I'll be thinking about this one for a while, including how, if I were back in Canada, like my friend David Menzies, I surely would have been arrested. What an exciting day, and special thanks to my colleague and partner, Lincoln Jay, the videographer who did everything you saw but running backwards. And when I ran out of questions on the conflict of interest, he reminded me, you are talking to the woman who seized and froze hundreds of bank accounts. So Lincoln, who's filming this right now, I just want to say thanks, Lincoln. It was a true partnership there. And finally, you did not lose your cool when the cops pulled us over. This ain't your first rodeo. Anyways, folks, this is Rebel News doing our work as we love to do. And if you think this is valuable journalism, help me out. There were four of us who came here from around the world, and unfortunately, rents here are insane during the week of Davos. If you can help, go to wefreports.com. Where else are you going to get that kind of encounter? I ask you. Thanks for your support.
That's right, folks. 90% of war, the Pentagon will tell you information. And if you don't back Rebel News, if you don't back InfoWars, you're insane. Okay? The people want this. It's happening. I got to say, I hadn't seen any of the clips because I was busy today and they just came out. I'm glad you said skip ahead of Trudeau because I did watch that. It's interesting. He's such a scumbag, but he's kind of out of power. This is still a kingpin. That's better than stuff you see on HBO. Great job. That is powerful.
You know, I didn't even recognize her because I thought by herself and she's littler than I remember. But my colleague Lincoln spotted her and, you know, she tried different things. She tried just talking it out. Oh, we're all for Ukraine. You know, oh, you're a Russian spy. Like she tried all these things that work on the mainstream media. And I just thought, I'm not going to let that stop me. And then she came back to you're harassing me. And in Canada, she really did. I don't know if you saw that picture of my colleague there in the final minute. She had one of our Rebel News reporters arrested.
No, I remember. They just needed nothing. They grabbed him, basically beat him up, took him to jail.
Yeah. So, and I want to give a shout out to the Swiss police. And I don't give shout outs to police quite often, but I actually think they're pretty light touch when it comes to press freedom. And they could have done rough stuff to us there. They just checked a few things that said, and you saw him. He said, hey, just take it easy.
No, like, absolutely. It was pretty, so shifting gears touch. Out of that, we'll add this in post. We'll add the full thing with Trudeau there. Because we're live now, but when we put it on X and Rumble, we'll do that. Just briefly, what is Trudeau there for?
Trudeau doesn't have any official status. As far as I know, he's not working for anyone yet. He has a new girlfriend, the American pop star Katy Perry. And actually, I think they're a pretty good fit, Alex. They sort of remind me of each other. And I don't begrudge a man finding love. You know, it's funny, when he was separated from his wife, Sophie Trudeau, they kept that a secret from the public for a long time because Sophie and the kids wanted to fly on our version of Air Force One to all these exotic locations with their dad. So they actually lied about their marital status so that his ex-wife could grift the free stuff. Anyways, that ended eventually, and now he's hooked up with Katy Perry. I didn't ask her any questions. I didn't bother her. I thought, you know, she's a public person, but she's not political. I just talked to Trudeau, who had the same sort of banter with me. He was trying to gaslight me in his own way. But I don't know. Here in Davos, I get more access to Canadian politicians than I do in Canada, because as you can see, there are some bodyguards there, but not a lot. Back in Canada, this guy would have 8 or 10 bodyguards around him.
Oh, let's be clear. When I covered Bilderberg 2006, I fly in, no criminal record. They interrogate me for a full day. And by the end of it, the guy was speaking in a French accent. He said, we're taking you to Toronto. You're going to be raped anally. And
oh my God.
And finally the press got it. They had to release us. He said, I apologize. I have a daughter. Please don't file a complaint on me. I was happy to get out of there. Wouldn't cover Bilderberg, but I mean, that was how many years ago was 2006? I mean, it was crazy. I mean, we're talking like in a movie, yeah. Screaming at us for hours. They'd leave for hours, yeah. Screaming. Yeah. One of the cameramen quit and flew back because they were like, saying we're gonna.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, "You know, you're gonna get raped in Toronto." And I said, "I can't believe you just said that." I just said, "You're." I mean, I'm telling you, like, that's not the average Canadian, but the average Canadian's so nice they don't realize the type of evil, some of the evil police leadership they've hired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I myself was arrested briefly. There was some pro-Hamas protesters, and they weren't just pro-Palestine. They were pro-Hamas. They literally had a recreation of the final moments of Yahya Sinwar, the Hamas terrorist leader. And this was just a few blocks away from my house. So I just went there to take a picture of it. And
I've seen the video, and they come arrest you for it.
Yeah. Yeah, they arrested me. They said your presence here is enough to cause them to breach the peace.
Nick Swartor got robbed and drugged by a car 3 days ago. The police pull up on video and say, "It's your fault. You shouldn't be here."
Yeah.
So let's shift gears now. It's crazy. Speaking of that, I can show you 100 articles. Here's one. National Geographic cover story just a couple years ago. The new Europeans, how waves of immigrants are reshaping the continent. Now, here's another one. The new Europeans. All right. How Germany adapts to new European reality. The new Europeans. Yeah. Okay, so this is a talking point everywhere. And so they're literally saying we're replacing Europeans with Muslims. And if you criticize it or you say we're replacing you, they'll arrest you in Germany and Sweden. And then I see this clip from Davos today. Old Europeans must accept the new immigrants. President of the Conference of European Rabbis with this imam all agree. The rise of the extreme right in many European countries is a response to the insecurity felt. I mean, because 80% of the Muslims are on welfare and they commit 80% of the crime. So-called old Europeans, you mean real Europeans, regarding the new immigrants fighting Islamophobia and anti-Semitism. So they're now tying anti-Semitism, which is the Muslims mainly, to a defense of the Muslims. You talk about self-immolation. You talk about mental illness. Here's the clip. Here's the clip.
Yeah.
Your Eminence, especially in Germany, you are facing a rise of anti-Semitism, but we are facing this all over the world. So I would like to hear what is your perspective on this.
The 7th of October has created turbulence in the whole world, a tremendous rise of anti-Semitism, organized, state-sponsored, in many instances, in universities, on the streets, and a rise of 500%, maybe some instances of 1,000% of anti-Semitic acts. And there has also been a reaction of Europe. I think the rise of the extreme right in many European countries is a response to the insecurity felt by the old Europeans, so-called old Europeans, regarding the new immigrants who came from the Middle East. So I think that fighting Islamophobia and anti-Semitism is an interest of both religions and both communities. And when we do it together, it's going to be much more useful. We have created, under also the Saudi umbrella, more than 10 years ago, the Muslim-Jewish Leadership Council, and which was successful. And we believe that we have to go this way if we want to make sure that every European can live in peace and walk in peace in the streets.
So let's translate that. You got the head rabbi of the liberal route saying we're on the Muslim payroll to open the gate so Jews are safe from the old Europeans. I mean, you talk about a circular firing squad here. What the hell am I watching, Ezra Levant?
Now, was there another clip where he talked about immigration? Because here he said Muslims came in and that caused, and he said old Europeans. I like saying indigenous. If I was a Anglo-Saxon, or if I was a Gaul, or if I was a Germanic person, I would say I'm indigenous. You know, like in North America, we give land acknowledgments to indigenous people. Same thing in Australia. I would encourage people, I mean, people who have been Anglo-Saxon.
You may have seen another clip. You said you saw a clip. What's the clip you saw? I saw several of him.
I've only been glancing at headlines. So if he said something about immigration, then that's he's insane, because immigration is the number one source of anti-Semitism in the West. It's not indigenous Brits, indigenous French, indigenous Germans that are causing the anti-Semitism in the world. I'll be very plain. It's anti-Semitic Islam, that is. Not all Muslims, thankfully.
Well, yeah, no, there's other clips of him. He elaborates, but the key there is he basically, I can play the clip again, he says Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, and then he's not pointing out that 90% or more of the anti-Semitism is Muslims. I mean,
I think he gave the game away by saying who's funding him. Let me say this, and this is something I sort of find myself saying a lot because I see anti-Semitism out there. I say, just because a Jew says something stupid, please don't ascribe that to all Jews. I know in America, for example, some of the institutions that have been pushing for open borders, immigration, some of them are Catholic. And yes, some of them are Jewish. I think the answer is to, well, I think Donald Trump uses the word remigration. I think that that's, you know, where there's almost no anti-Semitism? In Hungary. I went to Hungary, the massive synagogue there, they don't even have a guard. The door is open. There's no anti-Semitic graffiti. Kids are playing around. I asked some kids, what's it like being a Jew in Budapest? They say life is easy as a Jew
because
in Hungary.
Because it's classic and conservative. Well, let's just be clear. That's my
and
issue.
No immigration.
Is
there is no
Jewish.
Immigration.
I supposedly work for Mossad because I don't want to blow Israel up. I get the exaggeration and the, you still put a banana peel, Jews did it. My point is, it's stuff like liberal Jews constantly allied with Islam on the payroll. We need Jews, which they are, to call them out.
Absolutely. And to say that you are a Jew, not all Jews. And I feel this way about Jonathan Greenblatt of the Anti-Defamation League. I think that him and other people who say, I'm an official Jew, I'm the boss Jew, listen to me, I speak for my whole people. You know who does that also? Rabbi Shmuley. He drives me crazy. Every Jew I know cringes when he's on TV, and we're all sort of shouting at our TV saying, shut up, you don't speak for me. But he gets on Piers Morgan's show, and he has like a million people saying, oh, so that's a Jew. No, that's a Jew, but that's not all Jews. Drives me crazy. Bananas. And by the way,
Shmuley realizes how he's nails on a chalkboard.
He's, I think, a little bit off kilter. I think he's like a publicity maniac. He doesn't even realize when he stepped in it. He just loves the clicks. And I don't know. I think him and Greenblatt have done a lot of terrible things in the names of being official Jews. I mean, Greenblatt has made one of the anti-Semitic canards is Jews control the media. When Greenblatt says, I'm an official Jew and I'm going to bring in censorship in the media, you have just made that accusation come true. And that's why I really think that they're a harmful organization. Now, there's real anti-Semitism. So I don't believe, listen, I live in North America. I travel all around. There is a drop, one tiny droplet of anti-Semitism on the right. I won't deny it. I watch Nick Fuentes and Sneeko.
There's no doubt that there's a Jew obsession. That
exactly. But it's small. It is not normal. It is not the
Ezra,
norm.
Ezra, you got to go. If you can, join us again tomorrow. Incredible work at rebelnews.com. We're all watching.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years.
bodybuilders take as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.